Welcome to My Pal Sammy. I am your host, Sammy Yunnan. This is the fourth and second last episode of My Pal Sammy, a podcast miniseries documenting my 2018 Christmas break. As I described in the first three episodes, over Christmas break, I'll just consume a pile of pop culture and I'll think a lot and I'll read a lot and I'll write a lot. And this is some of the... some of my thinking in audio form. I've been calling it a captain's log. My pop culture explorations. And where I'm at. It's January 1st, 2019. Shortly after midnight. So the first day of 2019 is done. Hopefully you carpe that diem. Tonight's tea is a Twinings English breakfast, just a classic smooth tea. And on a sober note, I'm not really sure what to expect for this year and where we go from here. Shortly before my Christmas break began, I got some disheartening news. I'm the program director of Girth Radio, which is recorded inside the Pacific Junction Hotel bar. It's really neat. We have a radio station inside a bar, and we can bring in guests, and we can do interviews and things like that. We can give them beer sometimes and liquor, which gets for more honest interviews. It's led to a lot of really cool moments. I had pulled pork nachos with Scott McCloud. Really prominent, really cool comic book creator. There was one time meeting another Girth Radio host, Sean Cerani, and we were there. It was a really cold, bitter day. So I think it might have been January or February. And there was a girl and a dude that were meeting there. It was some sort of blind date or Tinder date or something like this. And they kind of hit it off. And he and I ended up putting all kinds of music in the jukebox. And we kind of scored their date. Played some REO Speedwagon, Lady in Red, any romantic thing that we could come up with, Air Supply. So yeah, it was a lot of fun, and unfortunately that fun has come to an end. The owner has sold the bar, and thus far I haven't really properly had a chance to talk to the new owner, but it sounds like she wants to do a lot of renovations, and that would mean the end of the studio. And at this point I'm not really sure what that means for the end of Girth, or if we continue in a different fashion, or what that means. We'd worked so hard and put a lot of time, money, and energy into building community. We'd done good. I think with any creative endeavor, you look back and you see things you want to do or things you want to fix, but the problem with looking back is that you've had this experience of doing it, so you're better at the end of it than you are at the beginning of it. It's a weird thing because it's like you make a movie. A regular movie is like 3 or 4 months, 6 months maybe, and it's strenuous and all these setbacks and obstacles and things like this. By the end of it, you're a better filmmaker. And you would almost make a completely different, completely better movie if you could do it all over again. It's the same thing as writing a novel. You're a better novelist by the time you get done the novel. So it's hard to always look back and then see what you would have done or could have done better, because you're better than when you started. Does that make sense? And yeah, I don't know. It's disheartening because I feel not just the community that we build up, but I also felt like with the hosts, the other shows, that we had a gang. and not just a gang where you can take on, like, and engage in ruckus, which is the whole point of having a gang. You have backup. You can be mouthy because you have a gang. But I just felt like I'd made promises, and I asked people to come and to record and to be free and to taste freedom. We just don't have a lot of freedom in our pop culture. There is a book called The Soul of Basketball. And Doc Rivers, who is the LA Clippers coach, he said John Thompson, who is the retired Georgetown University coach, really well known, really famous, really like successful coach. John Thompson once told me, Doc Rivers, nobody wants to put their reputation on the line anymore. Nobody wants to play hard is basically what he's saying. And that's what we kind of had the opportunity to do. When you have that freedom, you can put your reputation on the line. And it is inspiring because it is so rare. And I feel like with this abrupt ending of Girth Radio with the bar and everything like this, I feel like the work that we started is just not done. This is not the best metaphor, analogy, or whatever this is, but it feels like I was sitting at home watching Simpsons and my wife comes home. I'm not married, but my wife comes home and she's like, I want a divorce. I'm like, what? Where did this come from? And you have to transition out of like watching The Simpsons and enjoying yourself and the life that you thought you were living, and then ratchet up your expectations and align them with her. And like, what did I miss? How did I not see this coming? Or is like, and it's not like I ever thought that Girth Radio would be like forever, or this was like my destination. Earlier this year when I was in Portland, I interviewed Dave Brown at the Microsoft campus. And I made a poor choice of words. I used a poor choice of words when I asked him a question, and he corrected me, and I'm grateful that he did. But I asked him, why did he come to Microsoft? Why did he choose to settle at Microsoft? And he's like, I don't see this as settling at all. I see this as another step, another evolution. I'm going to keep doing other things. And sure enough, he's starting off 2019 doing like music stuff. He's actually left Microsoft and he's kind of doing really cool stuff. I'll put the link in for the show notes. And it's like crazy, right? Because it's like, why would you leave something like Microsoft where you could do all this really cool stuff? And I'm sure it's stressful and it's difficult and all this stuff. But it's like, wouldn't that be a forever job? Wouldn't that be something that you would want? Like, it's so hard to get those jobs. And that's what we had with Girth Radio. We had this freedom, this beautiful, rare freedom. And that feels like it's kind of come to an end. So I don't know what's going to happen to us. I don't know what's going to happen in 2019. It's January 1st. I don't have any. I'm supposed to be the leader. I'm supposed to know things. But I honestly don't know where to go from here. You could give me a GPS and I wouldn't know what destination to put in. Before I continue, I do want to say thank you. If you listen to my other show, My Summer Layer, if you listen to any of our shows at Girth Radio, any of our cool guests, thank you. Thank you for taking the time. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for arguing with me. Thank you for correcting me. Thank you for disagreeing with me. Thank you. The last episode I did for My Pal Sammy, I talked about how Avengers Infinity War and the next Avengers movie is called Endgame. And I guess this is our end game for Girth Radio. Super frustrating. In that spirit, I'm going to share what I've been watching because it's connected to all this. And in a way, it articulates better what I'm trying to say. On January 1st, I continued my avid pop culture consumption. This is basically what I do over the Christmas break. Movies and comic books, TV shows. And I fired up the first episode of The First. It is a terrible name to Google and to search The First. Absolutely nobody's watching this show. This is another TV show they made just for me. Thanks, TV people. This show has 1,500 Twitter followers. A Raptors game is 20,000 people. Their IMDb rating is based on less than 5,000 votes, 4,000 and change. And they spent $60 million on the first season. This is so not getting a second season. $60 million. So some dumb kid in Scarborough, not wearing pants, can watch something while he eats Lucky Charms on his Christmas break. That is lousy economics. The First was released on September 14, 2018. It's a Hulu show created by the guy who did House of Cards, Bo Willimon? Well, yeah, Willimon. And it stars Sean Penn. I think you might have seen the trailer and stuff like that as this astronaut. Just basically set in an Elon Musk type space company. It's kind of working together with NASA. There's a couple of shout outs to the JPL, the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, which I got to visit. Again, I got to visit as part of my connections at Girth Radio and some of the people that I met who invited me and got me a private tour of the JPL. And basically the show, The First, it shows the hardcore sacrifices, the emotional, physical, and spiritual cost of trying to get to Mars. From engineering to astronauts and their families. I initially thought the trailer had something like ominous or sinister was gonna like occur. Like there was something on Mars or something like that. But it's basically just a straightforward drama. Just set in a very sci-fi world of like self-driving cars, and you can turn your TV on with your voice, TV on, mute. Anybody that does any sort of endeavor like that, try and make a movie, try and write a novel. I mean, getting to Mars is incredibly difficult with all the engineering and all that stuff, but it's the same thing. One step forward, two steps back. Anyways, I'm getting to why I'm telling you all this. In the third episode, I think it was the third episode, Sean Penn had tasked this colonel. Her character's name is Kayla Price. And this lady, her task was to recruit some non-army candidates to hopefully become Mars astronauts, to join this Mars team and go into space. So there's a scene where the colonel, Kayla Price, she's convincing this super-duper geologist. Her character name is Sadie Hewitt. She's like a professor to leave her university post, and she has to uproot her husband, who's got tenure, and come. And basically her pitch is come discover life on Mars. They need her skill set with biology and geology and all these kind of things to know what's on the red planet, basically. And the professor, Sadie, she balks. She's like, if I fail at this, if I can't pass the training or anything like this, I lose years of my life, and it sets my work back. That moment reminded me of Muhammad Ali when he went to jail. And he lost a couple of good fighting years. He was still fighting for civil rights and for Black people and protesting Vietnam, all those things, but prime boxing years, he gave those up, he sacrificed them. That's a hard cost. Anyways, the colonel, trusting her gut that the professor is rock solid, promises you won't fail, you got this, you will succeed, you can do this. Fine. Fast forward in time, and Sean Penn is reviewing the colonel's recruits, and he has to cut some people. You know where this is going. After discussion, to be fair, he made some really good points with the colonel. She made some really good points as well. I kind of see what they're both saying. From an outsider perspective, as a mediator, or as a TV viewer, I'm like, I don't know. The colonel initially protested, but then she acquiesced, and she agreed with Sean Penn. And they cut the professor. But there's this shot, and there's this like look that the actor gives, where you could see from her face she knows, and the audience now knows, that she broke her promise to the professor. She did indeed cost the professor's life and work. Damn. That's heavy. The next scene, the colonel is in bed with her lover. And she can't sleep, so they get up and they make tea. By the way, nobody's watching this show, and I get that, but I've seen 4 episodes of the first, and in every single one, there is like a major tea scene. There's like a scene with the president, and she even says to one of the main characters, finish your tea. Like, it's an American show. I think there might be some British money in there, but I don't know where all this tea is coming from. Like, nobody's drinking coffee, even the overworked engineers. Like, what is happening? Like, I really do think they made this show for me. I drink tea all the time, so I'm not a coffee guy. It's really weird. Where was I? Oh, so the colonel and her lover, they're sipping their tea, and they're in this like dark kitchen. It's the middle of the night. And as she sips her tea, her frustration and her hurt, they kind of bubble up to the surface. So this is what she says, and this is a direct quote. Decisions get made, fine. And some are wrong, fine. Can I live with this one? Yes. But I always make it work, my whole career. And I just feel at this point enough already. I mean, listen to me. I know what I'm talking about. I've been given this command for a reason. I've earned it. I've excelled at it. And she slams her tea down and she goes, and here we are again. Oh, snap. That's me. Because I recruited some people for Girth Radio and I promised them freedom and their shows and their creativity. And now I have to tell them all, you're cut. That our momentum is done. That all the stuff that we've been working up towards is... or maybe over. Or I don't know where we go from here. She says, I mean, listen to me. I know what I'm talking about. I've been given this command for a reason. I've earned it. I've excelled at it. That's me and so many of my friends. That's the most articulate expression of the frustration of the position we continually find ourselves in. I hate soon. When you're in school, everything is so neat and orderly. You finish high school, and then you apply to college or university. I had immigrant parents, so college really wasn't an option. You had to go to university. Fine, I did that. And then you finish your 4 years. And then what? Like, I know you're supposed to get married, and you're supposed to have kids, and you're supposed to buy a house in the suburbs. But that's not how life works. People get divorced. People have miscarriages. She even says in her rant, I mean, listen to me. I know what I'm talking about. I've been given this command for a reason. I've earned it. I've excelled at it. And people don't listen to you sometimes. It's so weird. People will accuse you of having an agenda. And I'm like, where does that come from? Are you projecting? Are you like, I don't like know where that comes from. The point of the episode and point of that scene was that the colonel had gotten to where she got. She was a colonel. So it was a really prime, important position within the Air Force or the Army or whatever she was in. I don't know why Army stuff. Captain America. So by following the rules, but as she followed more and more of the rules, it led to decisions and breaking promises. There's absolutely no courage to take the sidewalk. The sidewalk is laid out for everybody. It's the same path we're all on, and you know where it goes, and you can look down and you could see where the sidewalk goes. So it takes no courage to use the sidewalk. I think there was a university in California. You'll have to Google this. I'm not 100% sure where it is, but let's go with the University of California somewhere. When they finished building the campus, they didn't build any sidewalks or any pathways. They let the students kind of go all over the campus for the first couple of years. And you know, when you, every university campus has this, there's this one kind of worn area in the grass where students cut through, just continually cut through, and just year after year after year. And once this University of California, wherever this university was, once they found all those worn paths of where the students were going, then they actually built the sidewalks. I thought that was really inspiring and really amazing. I'm like, I don't know why people don't do stuff like that more often. I felt like what we were doing with Girth Radio was not following the sidewalk, but we were doing one of those little groove paths. And it would have been nice if it became firmly established, and like that university in California where eventually it became so established that they built the sidewalk and they recognized that this was a thing that was supposed to stay. I don't know. I don't know where we go from here. I don't know where we go in 2019, and I don't know what's going to happen. I'm not on the sidewalk. I'm off the beaten path. Like this team that's trying to get to Mars in this show. So, my tea is done, and I don't know what any of that means. I am grateful and thankful that you took the time to listen and to participate in Girth Radio. I'm thankful for all the people, all the staff, all the hosts, all the bar staff, all the guests who came in and chose to be interviewed. I'm so thankful and so grateful that people took the time. We had an incredible run, and we got to do some amazing things. And our talents and our connections and all these things are not done yet. There's so much more story to be told, but I just don't know where it's going to go. Bottom line is, I don't know what any of this means, other than to say that I really did think they made a $60 million TV show for Dumb Kid in Scarborough. And that's how my 2019 is starting. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at MyPalSammy, and my writings are at MySummerLayer.com. Let's stay in touch, because there is a possibility that these things could be exciting. Thank you for listening.